Welcome to part three of King Records, Cincinnati Legacy. I'm Lee Hay. In this program, we'll begin with some of the musicians in the roundtable discussion moderated by Larry Nager. You'll hear the founder of King Records, Sid Nathan, talking to his A&R department back in 1954. And one of the Famous Flames shares his story, plus a discussion about the work of musicians Rusty York and Lonnie Mack at King Records. And there'll be plenty of music which was recorded at King, including Little Willie John, Wynonie Harris, Bobby and Jimmy, Rusty York, and Lonnie Mack. Let's begin with King Records, Cincinnati Legacy, Part 3.
Hi, I'm Larry Nager. I'm a longtime Cincinnati music journalist, and I'm sitting with Otis Williams, and we've got Philip Paul, and some of the other gentlemen in the room will introduce themselves as we're talking. So who were some of the artists you recorded with in the 50s?
Okay. Yeah, well, I'm Philip Paul.
We have a few hours.
I should have brought my discography.
I already didn't.
I really had no idea how much work I did at King. Yeah. Until this guy, I can't remember his name, he wrote this book.
Steve Tracy?
Yeah, he did all this research on it. He went down to the library and got a discography, and he brought it to me one day. I said, God, I did all this work. Where's the money at?
Yeah. That seems to be the question all the King artists ask.
I work with numerous groups.
Because you recorded with Grandpa Jones. Even.
Grandpa Jones, Stanley Brothers,
Bonnie Lou. I worked with Bonnie, too.
Yeah.
I did the top part over the singing duet with her on the top. That's how I got introduced to the country.
The Platters.
Help me.
Wynonie Harris.
Yeah, Charles Brown, Wynonie Harris.
All the Freddie King stuff.
Freddie King.
Little Willie John.
Little Willie John. Mm-hmm.
Give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night. Listen to me, baby, hear every word I say. No one can love you the way I do, 'cause they don't know. Give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night. Bless my soul, I love you. Take this heart away, take these arms I'll never use, and just believe. Say you give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning and fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night, my eyes light up when you call my name. I know you're gonna treat me right. You give me fever when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight, fever in the morning, fever all through the night.
Of white artists too.
What would a session be like? When would they start? Say, was there an average time, or is it all over the map?
When they got there,
that's right.
When the artists got there, yeah. The musicians would normally get there on time, and because Sid demanded that. He goes, this was a family, and you know, we had a guitarist, Freddie Jordan. We had bass players, Bill Willis and Ed Connolly. And we were the nucleus of the rhythm section at King Records. And when the artists got there, we would listen to what they were doing, and then we'd try to put some time to it, because most of the time, they couldn't sing in time. The A&R man would have to work with them, and we finally had to make a test cut, and that would take forever. Maybe we'd work it out maybe for hours.
You were there. You were there 20 hours a day.
And Sid would tell you, I don't care how long it takes, we're going to make a record today. So you had to do that. So finally they would get it together, and it would start clicking. We'd have to do it maybe 20 times, but we'd get it sounding good. That's the pattern. That's the way it was at King Records.
This is a meeting of the A&R department. Those present here today, from left to right, are Al Miller, Ralph Bass, Henry Stone, Henry Glover, Carly Bowe, Ray Sipe. Other people throughout the organization, that they are welcome to attend, welcome to talk, they're welcome to voice themselves in any way that they want to, because only by voicing yourself are we able to get to the basis of what we might call company policy. Naturally, somebody has to set the company policy. I try to, and I'm pretty damn stubborn, but I'll tell you this. You show me something better than what I'm doing. That doesn't mean that everything you say will be better than what I'm doing in my mind. It has to be proved to me in my mind that what you think will work in my mind then will say, yes, that will work better. What is the record business? Primarily the record business is Victor, Columbia, Decca, and Capitol. Is that right? So would you say that accounts for 80 to 85% of your business? I would.
Oh, sure.
Those four companies account for 80 to 85% of your business. All of the other companies put together, the business they do, Mercury, King, MGM, we're all small potatoes compared to these boys. And when you figure how we fight and we're tickled to death if we have a 350, 400,000 month, which multiplied by 12, if we hit 400,000, understand, would be a little under 5 million records, we'd be happy, wouldn't we?
Yeah.
And we'd all make a dollar. So you can see how actually the record business is controlled by the majors. And we're entitled to get all of the, we suck all of the blood that we can from in. And that's what we are after.
Now, one of the vocal groups that's really known at King was Hank Ballard and the Midnighters. And Jimmy, you're a veteran of that. Do we have any other Midnighters in the room here? Or so? So come talk about about Hank Ballard.
I'm Jimmy Raley. Yeah, okay. And they would call us to come over and put the background, because Hank's men could put on a real nice show on stage, but they couldn't sing. And when they did live shows, the bands just about covered up what they were doing, but they could really step. And so that's where we were at.
And what was your background? Are you from Cincinnati?
Yes, I was born and raised. I lived right around the corner from Otis.
So how did you come to King? How did you start recording?
Well, I started recording with the fraternity. We did all our recordings at King. And then we had out one of the first black line dances that was recorded.
And what years was that?
This was in the late 50s.
Late 50s.
I came to King's in the late 50s. And the Stomp we recorded with Fraternity.
And which group was that?
That was with Bobby and Jimmy.
I'm going down the road and over the hill to where my baby's at. I ain't seen her since yesterday, and I can't stand much of that. My car won't run, and I'm out of money. Gotta do something about that. Walk down the road and over the hill to where my baby's at. Oh, well. Down the road and over the hill to where my baby's at. Oh,
Then one of James's managers heard us, and he got us, and we got some more guys together, and we went with James.
Because he had a huge organization at that point, and he did production, he did other artists. In fact, Hank Ballard was part of the James Brown productions.
Later.
When
Hank was going down.
In the middle
James
of the 60s.
James picked him up. Shouldn't have been, but that's what it was. I mean, Hank was strong enough on his own, but as an artist.
This is Keith Little. Keith was one of the kids that hung outside the building.
13, when them records got pressed out, they all going over the hill to pick them out before they got to the market. So we were dancing that night before they played got on air.
So tell us about your background then, Keith, because everybody knows you today as a musician and as a real booster for local music. But where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cincinnati. I went to school with bro.
So how did you first find out about King?
Well, we lived in the area, Walnut Hills, Evanston, and we used to go there quite a bit. Matter of fact, I started playing back in 67 with the group. It was Electric Flag, and then we turned into Love D'Italien, which we was just under a group called D'Italien then. Mm-hmm. And so we would play a lot of the James Brown song, but we'd always go over the hill and see what was out so we can learn them before, you know, they got the air or something. Mm-hmm. So a lot of time we got a chance to play a lot of that stuff and dance to it before it made to the store. Mm-hmm. And even around the time when Roof and them, Boots and them did this stuff, House Guest.
Tell us who you are and your connection to King.
Yeah. Well, my name is J.J. Peterson, and I came up around King's but never was with King. I came up on another label. I was with a group called the Vidales. We made a record called Blow and Blow and and I Wish. It was on early label, and surprise to me, they're still selling it.
So what was your background? How'd you start singing? Or are you from Cincinnati?
Yeah, I was born and raised here. I started singing in church through my grandmother. My mother was a big fan of Otis Williams and the Charms. Mm-hmm. I can remember.
But you were just a little boy back then.
Yeah, well,
a little.
If she was living today, she would never believe I was singing with Otis, because I used to stand in front of the jukebox with a brush and be doing Hearts of Stone. Just singing it. But since I met Otis and singing with him and doing his tours with him, and I mean, some of the people that I met that has this man's records, 78s. Here we are, a line as far as this building around the corner. I'm giving autographs, you know. I mean, are you with Otis Williams? I'm one of the Charms, you know. I've been singing, yeah.
But, and it all started at King Records. I mean, that's because otherwise you would have just been singing around town.
Right.
Wow.
I say Otis Williams, you know what they say? Oh, the Temptations.
Yeah.
And I, no. Not the Temptations, Otis Williams and his Charms. Not Otis Williams and the Charms.
Right.
You know, and my dream is if I had the money, the way I would make a movie. Mm-hmm. Because people ought to know this man's still alive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some people I talk to, they don't even know he's still Otis Williams. Oh, he's still here? He's still alive? Yeah.
I worked in Memphis. I was with a newspaper down there, and I wrote a book called Memphis Beat about how that city's music scene kind of developed. And what you see in the late 40s, 1948, 1949, you saw WDAIA come on the air as the first all-black staffed radio station anywhere in the world, which is unusual in Memphis, you know, but there was a huge audience for that. And, of course, all the young Memphis kids were listening to what the family maid was listening to, which was WDIA.
Right.
So they were all hearing that music. And then you had Dewey Phillips, who was the first white DJ Memphis had to play race music, well, mm-hmm. as it was called back then, the early rhythm and blues stuff. And the whole thing is guess what records they were playing on WDIA? Guess what records Dewey Phillips was spinning that a young Elvis Presley was listening to?
Yeah.
And it was the stuff coming out of King Records. King was the first important, and arguably because it was first, was the most important independent label after World War II. Sid was releasing records not very successfully, even though they were country records, but in 1943. While the war was going on, using really poor-grade shellac to do it, but he was still releasing records. And when the war ended, he was there with, you know, artists like Lonnie Johnson, who had been recording since the 1920s. He recorded The Mooch with Duke Ellington and recorded a lot of brilliant country blues and was a huge influence on everybody from Robert Johnson to B.B. King. But Lonnie had that huge hit with Tomorrow Night here and Wynonie Harris, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So the development of King was so key to everything that came after it, because who were these guys listening to? What records were they buying? They were buying King records. They were hearing the federal stuff. They were hearing the stuff out of Cincinnati, out of King.
Hold back the dawn. Stop all the clocks. I just got the news that my baby wants to rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. Rock and roll all night long. My baby don't go for fancy clothes, high class dinner and picture shows. All she wants to do is stay at home and huckle buck with daddy all night long. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. Rock and roll all night long. She doesn't like ride on airplane. Never had a trip on a streamlined train. When it comes to loving, she knows what it's all about. And the way she huckle bucks knocks me out. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. Rock and roll all night long. She wants to rock with the clock, but she don't know when to stop. She gets her kicks every day. Yes, rocking her fine self away. She rocks in the basement and she rocks upstairs. I can't take it no more, I'm gonna buy a rocking chair. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. All she wants to do is rock. Rock and roll all night long.
So, I mean, the importance to all the music that came after it is it can't be exaggerated. It's massive. And the importance to Cincinnati because it did open that door. And it did paved the way in so many different ways for the way culture changed, the way integration changed our country, the way, you know, the opening of music, the falling of those barriers between white and black music.
Right.
We haven't heard from all the voices in the room, so tell us who you are and what came.
Well, my name is Rufus Allen. I was with Bootsy Collins and his brother Phelps Collins. They was with the JBs, with the James Brown Show. And that was my involvement, because after they left James, we formed a group called the House Guests.
What was your role with the group?
I was the lead singer. Yeah, and we recorded, the first record was My Mind Set Me Free. Okay, I wrote that. And the second record we recorded it at King, called What's So Never to Dance. You may remember James Brown's record, Make It Funky. Okay, we had a manager, Walter Wizenhunt, was with James at King. He was supposedly had left King to manage our group after Boosie and them left King, because they were formerly the JBs. James made a record called Make It Funky, and at the beginning of the record, you will hear him say, Bobby, what we going to do now? James would say, Bobby, I don't know, but whatsoever it is. And we heard that and said, well, what is he doing saying that? You know, and come to find out that the manager, Walter Wizenhunt, was letting James know every move we made, because he was mad at Boosie and them for leaving him. Mm-hmm. So that was my involvement, you know, with King. We went back there and recorded Whatsoever to Dance. And when we cut My Mind Set Me Free, we was traveling different cities, you know, we was on our way. And all of a sudden, the DJs quit playing it. You know, we were wondering, what's going on? James was paying them to quit playing that record. We couldn't fight him. He had all the money, you know, all the clout. So when we found that out, Wizenhunt, we fired him. Shortly after that, we got in the show with the Parliament Funkadelic, which was another group Boosie played with.
Correct.
And we opened up for them in Washington, at the National Guard Armory. And we came out, man, just blew it up. You know, they came out after us. And the people was booing them, telling them to bring the House Guests back out, you know, because I was imitating James then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I imitated pretty good.
He was in the Burning Canyon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because y'all kept drawing the crowd,
taking
attention off of him.
Right.
So, he's a little upset with y'all.
Anyway, the House Guests, George Clinton, the leader of the Parliament Funkadelic, he wanted the band, but he didn't want me, because I was kind of special, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a little argument back and forth. I said, look, you guys go ahead, give me my money, I'll go back home. I'll come home the next week, another guy come home at the group. Next week, another. Pretty soon, nobody with Parliament but Boosie and his brother, you know. So that's how my involvement with King was. You know, I was with the JBs. And later on, I heard about a gentleman called Otis Williams and the Charms. And they were looking for me. And thanks to Mr. Jimmy Rail and J.J. Peterson, they found me.
This is Dale Fallon. I am formerly one of the Famous Flames, the Soulers, Cincinnati Groups, Luther Bond and the Emeralds. I recorded 50 years ago at King's Recording Company. Our first record was All That Wine Is Gone. They don't do that no more. As a matter of fact, they don't do anything anymore like they used to.
All that wine is gone. Up. All that wine is gone. All that wine is gone. All that wine is gone. Oh.
Well, two old men sitting in a chair. One jumped up and said, the wine is here.
All that wine is gone. All that wine.
Gonna,
when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gonna, when's it gon
white port.
All that wine is gone.
Cincinnati at one time had a lot of groups, and a lot of groups came through King's Record Company, for which I recorded, as the Solars and the Flames. It's pretty hard to describe everything when you're old like I am. You know, I'm 70 years old now. I recorded behind Hank Ballard, James Brown, Bootsy Collins. We all grew up in the same neighborhood during the era, but we also done recordings together and had plenty of fun doing that.
Have you ever loved a woman and know that it's all in vain? Because this same woman breaks your heart time and time again. And even though you do everything you can to change the way she feels, she goes on doing the same things and pulling the same old dirty deals.
Consisted of Jimmy, Riley, myself, just the three of us. We had a pretty good time. We also went and took Bobby's name off, and we were the Expressions, and we'd done some things too. However, they didn't really go over real good. Sloop Time USA, Bobby and the Expressions, we wrote that song after we had done Sloop and Slide by Hank Ballard, which we were the background singers. A couple of the guys now still living.
The twine falling behind. The jerk, it's too much work. The boomerang, it's all gone. The monkey, they're doing it wrong. The snoopy is here to stay. Hey, everybody, a new dance is on the scene.
That's it.
Listen while I tell you how to do it. Hey, you see just what I mean.
Yeah.
Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
Yeah.
And go to the super beat.
That's it.
Move on down the line. Looking good, baby. Got it.
Sloop Time.
USA.
Listen to what I tell you. The people, this ain't no lie. Snooping is just what's happening. So don't let it pass you by. Up on your toes, let your shoulders droop. Tap your hands and you're doing the sloop.
Sloop Time.
Sloop, everybody.
Sloop Time.
Move on down the line.
Sloop Time.
Go ahead and work with it, baby.
Snoop Time.
Doing fine.
Get it.
You got it.
Snoop Time. You have it. Snoop Time.
Woo. Really looking good, baby.
Snoop Time.
You really got it down.
Snoop Time.
Go ahead and work with it.
Snoop Time.
That's it. Get it.
Snoop Time, you have it. Snoop Time.
Move on down the line, baby.
Snoop Time.
Now clap your hands.
Snoop Time.
Now up on your toes.
Snoop Time.
Fun, ain't it? Yeah.
Snoop Time, you have it. Snoop Time.
You know, as the Soulers, it consisted of Dilbert Gilliam, Bobby Davis, Jimmy Riley, myself, Waddell Fallon. We'd done this particular record on King. Bud Hopgood was the producing manager. He was also one of James's managers. On the record, when it was released as the Soulers, it was going over pretty good. Nobody Knows But My Baby and Me, and Here's My Heart was done by the Soulers. James came to town. He heard it, heard what Bud Hopgood had done, and they pulled the record off the air.
Just a lie. Oh, baby, please tell me the reason why. People, get ready, there's a train coming. Don't let no take it, just get on board. Sometimes I'm down, almost level to the ground. Told me she loved me, that was just a lie. Oh, baby, please tell me the reason why. Sing it loud.
James didn't like the violins, some kind of way. So we redone it over as the Famous Flames. Back to the Soulers again. That was consisting of Delbert Gilliam, Jimmy Reilly, Bobby Davis, Wardell Fallon. And Delbert's no longer with us. Neither is Bobby Davis, which was like brothers. I'm a retired. However, I still love music.
My name is Randy McNutt. I met Rusty York in late 1969 when I walked into a studio, and I was young and wanted to cut a record. And Rusty was very friendly. We got to talking, and I booked some studio time, took Wayne Perry in there, and received quite an education in music. We were cutting Mr. Bus Driver, a track that Wayne did that we eventually sold to Avco Embassy, and Rusty walked into the studio. He had nothing to do with the session, but he said, you know, that sounds like it needs something. So he walked over to the wall, and he pulled a dobro off, and this was a soul rock song. But at strategic points in the track, he would hit this dobro lick that sounded really cool. You know, it just seems like it fit. Rusty's such an outstanding musician in bluegrass and country, and he can do just about anything.
I ain't gonna tell nobody that I'll never love again, 'cause now I found a girl that's got me going in a spin. She keeps me trembling. Ooh, yes, I'm trembling all the time. When she tells me that I'm sweet, I tremble all the way down to my feet. Turned the lights down low, first time we met, gave me a kiss that I never will forget. Had me trembling, yes, I was trembling all the time. And from the way I feel, I know this love must be real. Do you love me, baby? Was all I think I heard. And I don't think I answered, 'cause I couldn't say a word. She had me trembling. Yes, I was trembling all the time. She had me trembling so I never had that feeling before. Such a thrill. The way I started shaking, you would think I had a chill. She had me trembling. Ooh, trembling all the time. She made me feel so fine. She told me she was mine, all mine. I said she makes me feel so fine. She told me she was mine, all mine.
Rusty had his big chart record, Sugar Ree, very big in this area and in a lot of areas in the country in the late 50s. And Rusty recorded it at King Records. He had recorded for King as an artist earlier. And when this project came along for an independent label, it was just the only logical place to record it was King.
I got a letter from my baby. She said she's coming home today. I got a letter from my baby. She said she's coming home today. Oh, well, my baby wasn't lying. She was coming home to stay. Sugary, sugary. Pencil and a paper, and I said right down to write. I got a pencil and a paper, and I said right down to write. I said I miss you in the daytime, but I miss you more at night. Sugary, sugary. Thank you. at the station. She had her baggage in her hand. Well, I met her at the station. She had her baggage in her hand. I said, I love you, pretty baby. I'll make you happy if I can. Sugary, sugary.
Rusty is such an interesting guy because he has total recall of those days, and he can remember being charged for every Ice Cube by Chess Records that released Sugar Ray. But it was quite a time, and he has a great story about driving down Hamilton Avenue, and he gets to a light, and he's sitting there. It's in the summer, and the windows are down. A girl pulls up next to him in a convertible playing Sugar Ray on the radio. And what a thrill that must have been, you know, to have your record blasting out all over the place, and you can see it rising on the charts, and Dick Clark calls, and you appear on his caravans and shows and things. So Rusty was really one of the early rockabilly stars in Cincinnati and made the transformation from that into bluegrass and country and played with Jimmy Skinner. And Rusty is just the consummate musician and well-respected around the world.
My shake 'em up baby, she's the best dancing fool in town. My shake 'em up baby, she's the best dancing fool in town. Well, she can shake it up right, she can shake it all upside down. She can shake it like a monkey shake it on a coconut tree. She can shake it like a monkey shakes on a coconut tree. She can do the pop, pop's real fine with me. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, 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 shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up all the time. Shotgun on his trail. Well, she can shake it like a rabbit with a shotgun on his trail. Well, like an old alley cat when the hound dog grabs his tail. Well, she can strut like a rooster calling on his hen. Well, she can strut like a rooster calling on his hen. Well, she can do the chicken, all you gotta do is tell her when. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, 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 shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up all the time. Shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, shake 'em up, baby. Shake 'em up, shake 'em up, baby.
Lonnie Mack was playing in the area for years. He started at age 14, leaving home in Aurora, Indiana, not too far from Cincinnati. He played a lot of the clubs in Kentucky and Cincinnati and ended up near Oxford, Ohio, in McGonigal in Butler County, playing the old Twilight Inn, where he met Troy Seals and Dumpy Rice and a lot of the first-generation rock musicians here in Cincinnati. Lonnie's band was always something special. I mean, it had a roadhouse sound. To me, it defined the Cincinnati sound, and that is a little bit of country, some blues, some rock, even a little pop thrown in, but a lot of blues influence. Come to me, I'm so lonely. Come to me, I need you only. I'll keep you happy. So happy, darling. I swear. How many tears must I shed? Count the time my heart is bled. I'll keep you happy. Ooh, so happy. Ooh, there's a debate as to how the song Memphis was discovered by Lonnie. Of course, it was a Chuck Berry song. When I interviewed Lonnie once, he claims that Dumpy Rice, the piano player, who was then playing guitar for Lonnie's band, loved the song and had the band rehearse it and play it some. And when they were in the studio backing, I believe, the Charmaines on Fraternity, there was a little time left on the session, and they cut Memphis. Now, Dumpy told me that that's not quite accurate, that Lonnie found the song and loved it, and they kept playing it, and the band had it down to the point where they could play it perfectly in one take. any event, they were in the King studio. Carl Edmondson was producing, and Carl told me that he had heard them play the song and he wanted to cut it very badly. And he had told Harry Carlson, "I think we could sell 50,000 copies of this record." So they cut it, Harry released it, and it was a big hit all over the country in the top 10, sold a lot more than 50,000 copies, probably 500,000. But Memphis launched Lonnie on an instrumentalist career. He could sing, but everybody wanted to hear him play. Then he came back with Wham!, also cut at King for Fraternity Records and produced by Carl. It wasn't quite as big, but it was a hit and established Lonnie Mack as one of the premier rock guitarists in the country. It's interesting to see how this progression goes through Cincinnati. Lonnie hung out at King, played on sessions there as a sideman, was influenced by Freddie King, a blues guitarist who was on the King label. Then Lonnie records Memphis and other things, which have quite a lot of Freddie King in them. Then Lonnie becomes the older guy, and other musicians pick up on him. It just goes through a sequence over the years. Stevie Ray Vaughan actually liked Lonnie so much that he produced an album for him, and Stevie re-recorded Wham! So all these players hear this, and then they incorporate a little bit into their act. And so in this way, King just keeps going on and probably will go on for years and years, even though the company's no longer located in Cincinnati.
This has been part three of a four-part series about King Records. Next week, you'll hear of efforts to recognize the legacy of King Records and what direction they might take. King Records' Cincinnati Legacy was produced in the studio of WVXU in Cincinnati. Technical assistance from Darren Blaze and Shake It Records. I'm Lee Hay.